Weeks ago, I preached a message that might have been disconcerting or puzzling to some of you. As I tried my best to talk about what it means to be led by the Spirit. And I told you that the big picture of the Holy Spirit was the Spirit was given by God the Father and Jesus the Son primarily for the purposes of our justification and our sanctification. That is, the Spirit was given to lead us to faith in Christ, and secondly, and right with it, then once we become Christians, to lead us to become more and more like Christ, which is sanctification. Justification is a decision that we make in a moment to believe in Christ. Sanctification is the lifelong process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And the big picture, the main reason that the Spirit of God was given was for our justification and our sanctification. And I kind of warned us to be a little cautious and to think it through before we ever say that the Spirit led me to do this or the Spirit led me to do that, because I've become convinced that the Spirit would never lead us or guide us into anything else except what's in the Scriptures. And I quoted Billy Graham on this. Everybody trusts Billy. Billy Graham says in one of his devotionals that the Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. I hear people saying, "The Lord told me to do this," or "The Lord told me thus and so." And I'm always a little suspicious unless what the Lord has said is in keeping with His Word. For God never directs us to do anything contrary to His Word. And so I said to you a couple weeks ago something like, if you would come to me and say, "The Spirit led me to forgive somebody who wronged me," amen, right on, no problem. Or if you said to me, "The Spirit led me to look into my financial resources and begin to give some money towards the church," that's in the Scriptures, it's mandated right in there. That's the kind of stuff the Spirit does. If you told me that the Spirit led you to pray more or read the Bible more, no problem, because that's exactly the realm of what the Spirit does. But if you would come to me and say, "You know what, Randy, the Spirit told me to tell you to sell your Kia and buy a Honda. Forgive me for being a little suspicious or skeptical, but I am, because I've come to believe that the Spirit doesn't lead or guide us into anything other than what's contained in the realm of Scripture." Led by the Spirit. It can be a fooler. If you look up the words or the phrase in the Bible, being led by the Spirit, let me give you an example out of the Psalms. Whenever those two things are together, it says something like this: "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious Spirit lead me forward on a firm footing." These psalms are like little poems, and the first line in the poem is always amplified by the second. So whenever you read in the Psalms and things sound familiar, or you read one verse and the next verse is almost just like it, it's because they're amplifying the first one. And the first one here is, "Teach me to do your will, O God." And the second one is, "May your Spirit lead me forward on firm footing," which is what? His will. So whenever you look up in the Bible the word "lead" and "Spirit," it's always leading or guiding us in paths of righteousness, Psalm 23 says. Whenever you're talking about the leading of the Spirit always leads us into paths of righteousness. It always leads us towards God. And I don't find the Spirit leading anybody to do much other than that, except in the book of Acts, which is not a theology book, but rather a history of the early church. And in the book of Acts, you will find that both Peter and Philip are led by the Spirit. But both times, it's in connection with leading somebody to salvation. So that jives with me. And if you go to the back of the book of Acts, there's this strange account, and I don't know how to resolve it, but it points out to me the dangers in saying I've been led to do this or that. In the book of Acts, towards the end, the Apostle Paul, it says that he's being led by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. A couple chapters later, a whole group of prophets, and one in particular by the name of Agabus, they are led by the Spirit to tell Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem." So Paul is saying, "The Spirit's leading me to Jerusalem," and these other spirits are saying, "Don't go to Jerusalem." Paul ends up going to Jerusalem anyway, but when I read that, I'm thinking, well, there's an instance even in the early church where somebody's saying the Spirit's saying to do this, and in the other case, and you can't really resolve it. And it just points up to me the mystery of when you're talking about the Spirit led me to buy a car, or the Spirit told me to do this or that, other than what's in the realm of Scripture. So that's kind of what I got across a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to come back and say this. Please do not hear me as if I am saying that God will not work in your life or in mine in such a way that He can bring assurance or comfort or guidance or direction, depending, or peace as a result of our praying. Okay? I was not trying to say that at all, that God will not give us assurance and peace and comfort and direction His way as a result of our praying. And I just kind of wanted to clear that up with you today. And I've taken as my verse of Scripture today to talk about it a little bit. It's praying. And so I'm making a transition now from all those sermons we had on the Holy Spirit, and particularly what it means to be led by the Spirit. And I'm making a transition for the purposes of just today to prayer, and how, regardless of what I've said about the Spirit, and I believe everything I said is true, and I think it's biblical about being led by the Spirit, but I didn't want any of us to think that Randy was saying anything about, well, why should I even pray then if the Spirit's not there to lead me or guide me? And I wanted to say it's important to pray, and that through our prayers, God can give us assurance, and He can give us peace and comfort. And I just wanted to be all on board with you that's so, and that that's true. And I wanted to talk about praying here for a few moments this morning. Praying. And I take as the text 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, where it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And I want to focus in on the phrase here, "never stop praying." Or as the King James and the New American Standard and the NIV have it, pray without ceasing. And I want to talk about what that means for a moment. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Surely Paul could not have been writing that literally, could he? What human being could pray without ceasing 24/7? Even Mother Teresa had to sleep at night, and I'm sure she wasn't praying in her sleep. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? If you look up that word that's translated without ceasing, it's used one other time in the New Testament. Oh, did I not mark it here? Oh, I didn't have it in my Bible, but I have it in my notes. It's Romans 1:9. And Paul says this and uses that same word in this context. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And he's writing the Romans. So he's telling the Christians in Rome that without ceasing he makes mention of them always in his prayers. Now, did Paul mean literally that without ceasing he's constantly mentioning the Romans in his prayers? If that's true, then he's praying for nothing else all the time than the Romans. And so we know that that's not the case. He's not praying for the Romans all the time. He prays for all kinds of things. So the word without ceasing doesn't mean 24/7 that I have to be praying all the time, but it certainly must mean that you're praying regularly and often. And I think that we can do that. We can. If we keep in mind that prayer, well, sometimes we formalize prayer too much. You know, it's time to pray. Let us pray. Or even on our own prayer closet, you know, we'll just think, okay, it's time to pray, so I need to go to my certain chair where I pray, and I need to sit down or kneel down, as it may be, or fold my hands or whatever. And I think we formalize prayer too much. And we try to squeeze it into a busy day. And how can we pray without ceasing in the busyness of our lives? I don't know about you, but I can say for certain that these days I'm much busier than I was 10 years ago. Does it feel like the same way with you? So how can we possibly pray without ceasing? And I think the answer is conversational prayer. I think there's a way we can pray that's not so formal, that's just conversational. You know, conversational prayer is just talking to God throughout the day. It can start in the beginning, as soon as you wake up, as soon as you open your eyes in the morning, if you wish to, you can start a conversation with God. You can just say, "Good morning, God. I'm glad you just woke me up again, because I'd better be, you know, for now, I'm happy to be on the earth still." Someone told me the other day, what is it? Better to be seen than viewed. So, you can just start it out in the morning. "Good morning, Lord." And you go out and sit down and you have your cup of coffee. "Lord, thank you for the gift of coffee. It's a wonderful gift. Thank you very much." Or when you have your bacon and eggs, and your bacon and eggs and sausage, or He-Man breakfast, whatever you eat, except for oatmeal and stuff like that. "Lord, thank you for a good He-Man bacon and egg breakfast, Lord. This is awesome. I could get into that. Don't give me a granola bar or anything like that. I'm not very grateful for those." But conversational prayer, it just kind of, it's realizing that maybe we can't pray 24/7, but we've got somebody who's right beside us 24/7. And his ear is always open. And he's just waiting for us to start up this conversation to go on with him throughout the day. Maybe we'll run across a little problem throughout the day. And as you run across a problem, just the Lord, you know, quick, "Lord, I need your help right now." Conversational prayer. When you fail during the day, that is when you sin, and we will, and we do, rather than think, "Oh my gosh, I just sinned. The Lord surely is not with me now. He just left me." We just need to say, "Lord, forgive me for that. I know I'm forgiven. You're right here by my side. I know you've seen it all. You got big shoulders. You can take it. Sorry for what just happened, but help me to do better next time." Conversational prayer can carry us throughout the day, and as we're signing off at night, "Good night, Lord. Good hanging out with you today." Just conversational prayer. What does Paul mean by praying without ceasing? I think he's talking about just recognizing that we have a magnificent and a great and loving God who's with us all the time, and he's ready to help us through our day. And whenever we can just think of him and think about what he's saying to us. Which brings me to a very similar related point, and that is prayer for a Christian should be like breathing in and breathing out. Some of you remember the name of the 1980s of a great saxophonist named Kenny G. Do you remember the name Kenny G? He's known for inventing a particular kind of breathing called circular breathing. And the reason that he was such a great saxophonist was his method of circular breathing. And for him to circular breathe, what he would do was he would constantly breathing in through his nose, well, not constantly, but he would breathe in through his nose and store some of that breath in his cheeks, while at the same time pushing a little bit of that air that was in his cheeks through his instrument. And in this way, he kept it going. And he called it circular breathing, and enabled him to be recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records for sustaining the longest note on record. He blew an E flat on his saxophone for 45 minutes and 47 seconds without taking a breath. How could he do that? Because his technique of circular breathing, breathing in through his nose, storing some of that in his cheek while he at the same time blowing it out. That wasn't easy for him to learn that. In fact, he says, "It took me 10 years to perfect that method." 10 whole years. It's not easy to pray unceasingly. It takes some time to build this up, but you and I can do it. We can learn this conversational prayer. And I think it has to do with breathing in and breathing out. We breathe in from what the Spirit gives us, primarily through the Bible. And when you breathe in, and we know, the more and more we know about the Bible, the more and more we can breathe in and store it up a little bit so that when the time is right and we need it, we can breathe out. Does that make sense? I want to give you some examples, and I want us to actually pray today in the time we have remaining in this way. I want to give you some examples of where we need to breathe in and breathe out. And it could be that some of you right now need some assurance of your faith. Or tomorrow you might be. Do you ever get in a place where you're not going to do that right now because you're in the Lord's house? But during the week, have you ever gotten the place where you failed the Lord somehow and you just thought, oh my gosh, I must not even be a Christian for what I just did? And it's right then that you need a little assurance of faith. And if we know this Bible, you know, well, the more we know it, the more verses will come to our minds right when we need them. We can breathe in verses like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it says, my friend, you don't have to worry about that you just send away your grace. You've been saved by grace through faith. You've been saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Otherwise, we would boast about it. But it's basically a verse that Paul's telling us that our salvation is not based on what we do or don't do, but rather based upon everything that Jesus has done for us. That's why it's grace. So if you get in the position where during the week you've just failed the Lord and you need a little assurance of faith, that verse could just come to your mind. You breathe in the verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and this is basically, you just need to remember my salvation is by grace. And so then you say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, I sin today, but I know that my salvation is not based upon what I do or do not do, other than have faith in Christ. So forgive me of my sin, and I thank you so much, Lord, for giving me this free gift of salvation. It's breathing in, it's breathing out. Some of us might need the assurance of God's presence. We feel like God is left us, and that's when you can a psalm might come to your, like Psalm 46:10, God is our refuge and help, a very present help in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1. And we realize that God is with us. Breathe in the scriptures, breathe out a prayer. I was overseeing Sharon Petruna in the Akron City Hospital last Thursday. And yes, she has cancer that she's been battling, and she was having trouble breathing. And you know how it is when you have trouble breathing, that's one of the worst things. It just frightens you to death because you don't know if you're going to get enough oxygen. And so she went in the hospital, and they found this fluid in the sac around her lungs and heart. And they drew some of it off yesterday, I think, and they're waiting on test results now because they told her some of that fluid might have cancer cells in it. They didn't know yet, and I don't know either. But she's been battling that. And I saw on her bedside stand there was a book there that my wife Gail has recommended to several of you, and it's a wonderful writing by Sarah Young. It's a wonderful devotional book, and she writes these little thoughts as if she were Jesus. And so it's like Jesus talking to you. And Sharon lifted up that book and said, this is the book that Bob and I start out every day with. So when you're thinking about breathing in, it's not only the scriptures, that's the primary, but also devotional books can be a way that we can breathe in. And I wanted to read to you what her and Bob read last Thursday out of that book, and how it brought her some comfort. And again, this is Jesus talking to whoever's reading it. I'm all around you. I'm hovering over you even as you seek my face. I am nearer than you dare believe, closer than the air you breathe. If my children could only recognize my presence, they would never feel lonely again. I know every thought before you think it, every word before you speak it. My presence impinges on your innermost being. Can you see the absurdity of trying to hide anything from me? You can easily deceive other people and even yourself, but I read you like an open, large print book. Deep within themselves, most people have some awareness of my imminent presence. Many people run from me and vehemently deny my existence because my closeness terrifies them. But my own children... And now here's where Bob and Sharon are recognizing, my own children have nothing to fear, for I have cleansed them by my blood and clothed them in my righteousness. be blessed by my intimate nearness to you. And since I live in you, let me also live through you, shining my light into the darkness. And Bob and Sharon told me how much comfort they were getting as a result of reading that book. You breathe in stuff like that, and you breathe out a little prayer. Lord, thank you for your presence with me. Regardless of what I'm going through, you're right there with me, and I thank you so much. Another example here, some might be worrying about something that you're facing right now, and you need peace in your life. And so you recall to your mind Philippians 4, where Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything with supplication and give thanks to God for all he's done for you as you pray and make known your requests. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you breathe in that when you're facing a difficult situation and you're worrying, and you just breathe out a prayer. And as you breathe out that prayer and you say, Lord, help me in this situation. And it's amazing how the peace, you know, overcomes you. No matter where you are, you can feel totally alone and isolated. I remember not long ago, I was in an MRI machine, and you know what those machines are like, and they stick you back in there, and you're all by your lonesome, and you're all like this, and it's all closed in, and you're all alone. And Lord, this has got me a little shook up here now, but I know that you're with me, even in here, right now. And it's amazing how the peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we are needing direction or guidance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. In a verse like that, you breathe that and that kind of stuff, and you just breathe out a prayer. Lord, we are here today with open hands and hearts, ready to depend on You to help us through the day and everything that it brings our way. As we face tough choices and hard situations, help us remember that we are Your children and Your representatives to the world around us. Help us live today in a way that brings honor to Your holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen. You might need comfort in times of loss. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted and rescues those who are downcast in spirit. Dear Lord, we breathe that in. Dear Lord, please help us in this time of loss and grief. We don't understand why You've allowed this heartache into our lives, but we turn to You, for there's no one else to turn to. Fill us with Your love and Your grace and Your strength, and renew our faith as we carry on the best we can in the days ahead. Some of us just need a chance to start over. Anybody here ever want the chance to start over? And we can remember Lamentations. What does it say? I need to look because I forget this one. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Chance to start over. Anybody looking for a chance to start over today? You just take a great big deep breath. His mercies are new every morning. I can start over right now. Let's pray. Good morning, Lord. It's a new day, a chance for a new start. Yesterday is gone, and with it any regrets, mistakes, or failures that we've experienced. It's a good day to be glad and give thanks, and we do. Thank You for today, a new opportunity to love, to give, and be all that You want us to be. Feed us today Your daily bread. Your very word spoken to us. Help us to set our thoughts on things above and to speak only what will help and encourage. Keep us, Lord, from putting our foot in our mouth. Help us to treat each person we encounter as You would and as You have us. with respect and love and forgiveness. Frank, thank you, Lord, for the ability to start over as it concerns who we are in Christ. Thank you that it's not by what we do or do not do that we come to you in faith, but rather by what Jesus did for us on the cross when he willingly laid down his life for his people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts that helped us to make this decision to believe this wonderful good news that Christ died and lives again, and because he lives, so will we. And I pray, Lord, for anybody in this room today who is yet to make that decision, that you would give them the courage that it takes to say, I believe in Christ. I believe he's done for me what I could never do for myself in a million years. He's made us right through the power of his blood with you, O Lord. Help us to come into your presence as newborn believers in Christ and to begin to live the Christian life, becoming more and more like Jesus with each new day. Thank you for the invitation to come to you right now. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the reminder that we can breathe in and breathe out, and in this way commune with you throughout the day. What an awesome gift, honor, and privilege we have. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.